Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hello, hello.
And some of you guys might be new listeners. And so we just wanted to do a really quick shout out. We try not to do this very often, but every once in a while, we just remind you guys that one of the best ways to get the word out about Risen Motherhood and everything that we talk about on the show is to actually leave us a rating and review on iTunes. They have these uber complex algorithms that we don't totally understand, but it definitely helps other people find the show. And so many, many of you have already done this, and we are so grateful, and we're always just blown away and completely humbled when we read them and are so just rejoicing about what God is doing through this podcast. And so if you haven't done that yet, if you would consider taking 5 minutes, I think it does take just a few minutes to do that for us. There's also a tutorial on our website, risenmotherhood.com. We always get little questions about how to do it. So Laura has already prepped that for you. So definitely that would be super awesome. So today we are talking about kind of another follow-up question from the Ask Us Anything show, although we've been mulling about doing this topic for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're excited today to talk a little bit about family planning and just how I think some of the questions from the Ask Us Anything show really revolved around, you know, how did you decide to have more children? And did you guys like start out with, you know, knowing what your family would look like, or did you change it as it went along? And there are like so many questions, I think, when you're planning your family, that go into it. It's kind of a complicated topic and kind of a complicated question to answer. I mean, there are things like, you know, how long after getting married do we have kids? What kind of birth control do we use? Do we need to be out of debt? How long do we wait for spacing? What if your husband and you want different things? What about foster care? What about adoption? You know, what if we're not able to have children and that fear that kind of can come with infertility and how that plays into things? So, I mean, whoa, right? It's a lot happening in our minds and in our hearts and then in conversations with your husband. So we're not going to answer all of those questions today, but we're going to try to bring some biblical principles into it and offer you guys some really solid questions to get those conversations going in your homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so to get started, we're just going to jump right in here today with some kind of personal stories just to share where Laura and I are at and kind of what our journeys have been, mainly because they've actually been pretty different. And we both have experienced kind of some unexpected things in our family planning journey that have kind of caused us to change things and think about this in different ways. So real quick, our story is we got married and we thought that, oh yeah, we'll just like wait 5 years to have kids. That was just kind of a default. I don't think we had any real reason why we picked that number. My husband maybe wanted to go to grad school and he had all these kind of career goals and we just, that's what we were going to do. And so we set out on that path, and not too long into marriage, I kind of started having some negative side effects to the type of birth control we were using. And so we got off of that. And as we started to research, it kind of opened up this whole box of information that we had not previously processed through at all. Things like, what does the Bible say about this? And, you know, what are some of the different implications of family planning styles? So as we were doing that, we felt like God just really worked in our hearts and showed us that for us, we really didn't have any good reasons to be kind of avoiding children, except for things that were rooted in like cultural ideals or just our own selfishness. So we pretty quickly after that just said, okay, Lord, we'll try to start a family, and weren't really sure how that would all turn out. But after we had our first son, we just loved being parents. Like, way more than we ever imagined. And so in that process, again, God just started working in our hearts. And I have tons of details if you ever get a chance to sit over coffee with me about this, about how it all happened. But in my husband's heart, in my heart, he was working individually to cause both of us to desire a larger than average family. And somehow, at some point, we became very unified in that. And around that time, when we were still kind of like, oh, should we commit to this or not? Like, we found out we were pregnant with twins.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And so I don't know. It just kind of went forward from there. We said, okay, we're pretty committed to this. Like, we feel like God is calling our family to this vision. We know it's weird. We know it's going to require just an insane amount of sacrifice. But much like what people think when they start, you know, going to medical school to become a doctor, they're like, I'm so passionate about being a doctor that I'm willing to go through all this crazy sacrifice. We have felt that way about having a large family from the beginning.
I remember one time talking to you about it, and I was like, how do you deal with all the pregnancies so fast? And you totally said something along those lines about, like, I see the long-term goal, I see the long-term vision, and so I'm willing to, like, put the work in now. And actually, it was like a revelation to me, because I think that happens to a lot of people, honestly. Yeah. Is that these childbearing years are tough, and so we just sort of like, it's too hard. Yeah. I'm done having kids. So I have always admired that about you and my brother, that you guys have really pressed through, because you see this beautiful vision of a huge dinner table of 18-year-old-ish kids, and it's fun.
That is exactly what, it's this vision of a huge, my husband, don't get him started about his vision, but no. We really encourage each other, I think, on hard days, and I always say, honey, don't ask me about the next kid when I'm in the middle of this pregnancy,
because seriously,
I'll think about that later. But yeah, that's the road we've been on. I'm pregnant with our fifth child now, but we do, I just wanted to mention, take it one child at a time. People always ask us, well, how many kids are you going to have? And maybe they observe we have like six bar stools at our island. But the reality is we don't know. We have a child who's got some developmental things. There's always factors we consider. And every time we pray about it and just make sure we're moving forward for the right reason. So that's kind of where we're at. Laura, your story is a little different. Excited for you to share.
Yes, different. Yes. So we were, my husband and I, when we were first married, were always of like the, about three kids camp. And we wanted to wait the requisite 5 years. I don't know why that's such a popular number, but it seems to be, before we had kids. And over the course of this time, at the beginning of our marriage, God really grew in our hearts just to adopt and just desiring to add to our family in that way, even prior to having children. And so if you want to listen to the Adoption of the Gospel episode, you can find more of our story specific to that over there. But basically, I was on birth control and I ended up going to, we went on a little trip to Europe. I got a little bit sick, ended up in the hospital in Prague. And then I ended up back in the hospital back in the US, and I was on some antibiotics for about a month. Well, apparently antibiotics null and void, or at least weaken the effects of birth control.
Whoops.
I didn't know that. And so anyway, we got pregnant, and I was, to be very honest, it was really hard for me. I actually cried when I first got pregnant. It wasn't in my quote plan. I am a planner. I felt like I wanted to continue working, and I had some different dreams that I want to fulfill. And I knew God had just kind of been like, nope, this is, you're starting your family, here you are. So as we did that, we immediately, you know, moved ahead and had our daughter. It was sort of, again, part of our plan to have kids close together. So I was like, great, it's just a little early, but we're doing it. And at that time, right after my daughter was born, we started the adoption process, all of these things according to plan, even though it was an early timeline. Well, ended up December of last year, God started growing in my heart a desire for a third biological child. And I didn't say a word to anyone until maybe 6 to 8 months later, because I just felt like I was insane. I was crazy. And I finally brought it to my husband and just said, can you tell me to just stop, you know, to let this go? And he did. He was like, no. And I said, but you have to take 4 weeks to pray about it first, and then I want your answer. And so over time, it was just amazing to see how God worked in his life and changed my husband's heart through some conversations, but just giving him time to think about it. And so now, as you guys all know, I am pregnant with our third biological. And just like Emily, we are taking it one day at a time. We know adoption isn't a guarantee. We know no pregnancy isn't mm-hmm. a guarantee. And so I don't see our family as like, okay, this is done. This is our exact final plan, but this is the course we're on until God changes it. And we're just trusting him with that. So, woo.
Yeah. And, So as you heard those stories, I think a lot of these biblical principles we're going to talk about are going to come out, and we've already kind of addressed them, but we're just going to kind of fly over some things. Like if you're just starting this journey, you're like, wow, I've never really thought that intentionally about this before. What does God even say about this? Does the Bible take a stance on families and family size and all those things? So we're just going to fly through this really quick and talk about five principles. So one is that we know God loves life. He is the creator of everything. He created people. He commanded Adam and Eve to just be fruitful and multiply. We know that God brings forth spiritual life in Jesus from dead hearts, and that he longs for us to live forever. So he just loves life. The second thing is that God's glory is displayed in the family relationship. So because of the Trinity, we know God is actually a father. And so he obviously values parenthood. He values family relationships. And a lot, we image him in motherhood, in parenthood, as we carry out our role. The third thing we wanted to mention is that God is Lord over the womb. So if you actually skim through like the Old Testament or much of any of the Bible, it seems like almost everywhere that like childbirth or like getting pregnant is mentioned, it's also mentioned that God like opened the womb or allowed that to happen. And so you just see that is God's hand, that although we think we have control over our bodies and our pregnancies, really it's God who does that. Four is that God just loves children. He always calls them a blessing. They're never in scripture. You don't see them spoken of as like, it's so burdensome to have more children. Proceed with major caution. You know, you don't see those things. It's always there. They're a heritage. They're a reward. They're a good thing. It was normative for a long time, and even in Israelite culture, to receive as many children as the Lord gave, you know, within whatever those bounds were. And so that's not to say that's prescriptive for all of us now, but that's just something to keep in mind, that was considered a good thing. And the fifth thing is that God wants us to be a picture of the gospel in our lives as we enter motherhood. And we do that as we sacrifice and we lay down our lives so that we can nurture and give life to our children. And so it's just a picture of the gospel. And so that is why God loves families, loves children. This is part of his plan. This is a good thing.
Yes. And all of this, you know, of course, being someone in the adoptive process, all of this applies towards, you know, however your family is made up in adoption mm-hmm. through, you know, maybe foster care or blended family, multi-generational. So families look really different. And that is God's mm-hmm. grace to us that we can form families through relationship and not just through sharing the same DNA. And part of that is a mercy because of the fall, I suppose, right? So getting into creation, fall, redemption piece here. Unfortunately, with the fall, like that brought in sin, pain, death, complications. So when we are thinking about having children, like we have to consider some of these the way that the fall impacts this. So sometimes our fertility is compromised, or the safety of a birth experience is really, really unsafe, actually. And what are some of those lasting health impacts that we have with children, both psychological, the emotional toll of it, your age, certain risks can happen from that. So there are a lot of decisions to take into account based off of some of the things that happen simply because the fall entered the world. But with redemption, there's so many different places that plays in redemption and restoration. One beautiful thing that we just want to make really clear is that no family type should be idolized. And that's because we are no longer under the law. You know, there is no ability for you to earn holiness in front of the Lord because you have, you know, as many children as the Lord allows, or because you stopped at two and you were really wise with your financials, however that may look to you or justify to you. It does not earn you favor in God's eyes because we are fully accepted by God only through the love of Jesus. So we can't have pride in whatever choice that we make as long as we are clear in our conscience by seeking the Lord as we form our family, what our family looks like.
There is no perfect family size.
Yes, that's like, we want to make that so clear here today. So
that is not in scripture, actually. Yeah. So another thing we wanted to bring up, yeah, just restoration of like, we live for Christ because of what he's done for us. And so now every decision that we make, including family planning, comes under this umbrella of the Great Commission, which is that we're going to go and make disciples, and the Great Commandment, which is that we need to love God and love others. And so while family is a huge portion of that, obviously we have an entire podcast on how family is a huge portion of fulfilling those two things, it's not the only thing or the ultimate thing. So we cannot put our family planning above every other component of fulfilling the Great Commission. And then finally, we just wanted to bring in a point that we are supposed to be loving children, loving our neighbor as ourselves in a really big variety of ways. And this is part of kind of the diversity in God's family, and the unity is that no matter what our family size is, no matter how many biological children that we've given, like, our hearts are to be for children. And that might look like your hearts are for your nieces and nephews or the children in the church nursery, and you love them and welcome them. Maybe it is orphans that you foster, or you bring into your home through adoption. Maybe it's the neighborhood kids. I don't know what other kids that is in your life, in addition maybe to your biological children, but that is a lifestyle that we want to live now of welcoming and loving children and not viewing them as a burden.
Yeah. And I think just overall, we want to remember that God is sovereign. As we talked about over the womb, he often uses our plans to accomplish his will. But we also were chatting, Emily and I, that we don't know one other mom that has really been like, yes, it happened according exactly to the way my husband and I planned it from the beginning. And so I know that we're always harping here at Risen Motherhood about figuring out what things look like to your unique family. There is no prescription from the gospel, from the Bible, that says this is exactly how you should space your children, when you should have them, how you should add them to your family. So what we want to dive into are some questions to ask for you and your husband. And actually, Emily has a really full and robust document that when she shared it with me, I had no idea she had this, you guys, but I was like, whoa, that is amazing. And where was that when my husband and I were like going through engagement classes or talking about kids? And it's really awesome. And so we're going to link to it in the show, and you can print it out or share it with people. But I want to like bring that up because we're not going to go through all the questions. We're going to highlight a few of the big ones. But yeah, she has this beautiful document that I just need to brag on for a second of her research. The girl is the queen of family planning, if you want to know anything about it. So, okay.
We've thought about it a couple times before. I
know, when this question came, I was like, I don't know. We just kind of flew by the seat of our pants a little bit. And Emily's like, oh, here you go, sister. You know, like, she just whipped it out. So, okay.
So some high level questions, always going back to the heart, which is the main thing, right? It's like two families can make the exact same family planning decisions, and one family can do it for very selfish cultural reasons, or the other one can do it for godly reasons. So, the question is, first one is, why are you wanting more or less children? Things like, is it because there's medical reasons? Is it so that you can have a bigger bank account or you can travel more? Is it to fit into a certain model of what you think the best family is, either in a church environment or in the cultural environment? Is it because you want to spread the gospel more, and you're in an environment, maybe you're even in another country, that is just not safe or conducive for, you know, a lot of children? Is it because you don't want to have more children because you're like, oh, it's the weird, you know, we don't want to be the weird family? So there's a lot of reasons, but we always have to look at our heart of like, why are we wanting to have more, or why are we restricting from adding more children to our family?
Yeah. And I think another one is that all believers have a charge to care for the orphan, and to look at those children to see if that fits into your family. If adoption or foster care does, it doesn't make you any holier if you choose to do it. But just to look at, how are you supporting this? How are you valuing it? Is that because you're intentionally bringing children into your home through these routes, or are you supporting other families that are doing it? And then, of course, we're going back to, what does your husband think? You know, we will always always come back to that. This is so huge. So pray that you and your husband have unity. As you heard my example, I asked my husband to pray for 4 weeks for at least a month before he gave me his final answer. So sometimes the wife wants different things. I think that actually happens a lot where, you know, you guys start out at different places and God moves your hearts together, and seek to understand where each other are coming from. You know, make sure you just ask God to give you guys a shared vision of what your family will look like, and then also shared timing in how that potentially comes about.
Yeah. And I love that point about seeking to understand, because sometimes that's how you can kind of find out what some of the hidden heart motives are, what some of the hidden fears are. And then you can actually work to process through some of those things and say, are these wise? Are these valid? Or are these kind of rooted in something that's not biblical? So, and then finally, I just wanted to say, like, kind of, what are we placing as the highest priority in our lives as we're considering family planning? I think, like Laura said, without even meaning to, sometimes we can just walk forward in this journey and we're not really thinking intentionally about it. And so without meaning to, we're putting, you know, cultural prosperity and having a certain lifestyle, or kind of, again, just having a fitting into what's normal. and we just take that route by default. And maybe there are some good things about that, but at least consider, what is God calling our family to? How is he calling us to live out the gospel? And are we putting, you know, children, considering children as a blessing in that? And what is that looking like in our lives? And just in general, that's anyone in the Christian life, like a certain type of lifestyle should never kind of be more important than Christ himself.
Yep. Okay. So head over to our show notes. You guys, you are going to want to see kind of some of the more full resources that we're linking to. Just study this for yourself. See what the Bible talks about. You know, get in there and don't trust our word, trust God's word. Maybe talk to older couples who love the Lord and have raised their families well that you really respect. See what they really liked about what they did and maybe what they would have done differently. And then, of course, as we said, talk to your husband and just pray about what God might want for your family. So we hope that you'll visit our show notes at risenmotherhood.com. Of course, find us on all of the social media channels. Well, not all of them, but many of them. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We are at Risen Motherhood on all of them. So we hope you'll join us. We'll be talking about this topic in general throughout the week. So thanks for joining us.